Item 9 is a subdivision and rezoning at 386 Beaverbrook Street under file DAS at 11 of 2014 in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following item will be heard at the same time. Item 10 is a variance at 386 Beaverbrook Street under file DAV 116265 of 2014D.
Okay, so for the applicants here, I've got Tony. That's you.
Greg Nulo, yeah.
And Ryan Scrubbins, that's you. Cheryl and John Stoneman are not, they're not the applicants. They're, okay, they're all lumped together. They're not. Okay, we're good. Go ahead.
We have some documents I think we'd like to.
Pardon me?
We have some documents that we'd like to submit
and,
for the application.
John, are you registered?
I haven't filled out a form, but I will. I apologize.
You will fill out a form. Okay.
I'm more here to represent my firm who did the public engagement.
Okay, but are you considering yourselves one of the applicants?
Yeah, sure, I'll fill out a form. Yes.
You will fill out a form as an applicant. Okay, I just do need to be clear in our process here. Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, Councillor Orlico, and administration representatives, I'd like to take 2 minutes to do a quick summary of how we got here today, and then spend the balance of our time talking about a few options for consideration. The land we're talking about today is 386 Beaverbrook, which used to be Sir John Franklin School. We purchased the land from the Winnipeg One School Division approximately a year ago, less than that actually. Before the school division sold the land, they did some public consultation, and were told by the community that single-family homes, some green space, would be acceptable development of the land. We did two public open houses. They were very well attended by the public, with over about 190 attendees, and arrived at the following plan. This plan was proposed to this committee approximately 3 months ago. The community had come out and was in favor of a park on the corner of Grosvenor and Beaverbrook, highlighted by the green area, with the red markers denoting back lanes and a new street through the development. We presented this plan at the River Heights open house that we hosted, and it was very well received. The plan was needed to be modified a number of days in advance of our last meeting to address some concerns from the administration that there was a strip of oak trees along Lanark Street on the property that were very valuable to the city, and that the city wasn't interested in the park on the corner. And in exchange, not in exchange, but to preserve the trees, green space was allocated along Lanark Street at the administration's request. This plan here demonstrates what was recommended at the last committee meeting. The green on the right-hand side of the presentation board denotes the green space allocated along Lanark, and the idea was for us to come back and do a future application for the bottom blue corner. There would be some work regarding back lanes and roads, what have you, and we need to do some variances for lots. We decided to withdraw our application, come back today, and potentially do everything at once. In our discussions with the administration, the oak trees on the right-hand side here were at great expense mapped exactly as they are on the property right now. The red trees, circles, denote trees that will be lost if this proposed development is recommended here today and makes it through council. The green trees, however, are the trees that are on the green space attempting to be saved or preserved. When we modified our plan to accommodate these trees here, we noticed that all of these parks, per se, were not created equal. The park at the bottom right-hand corner has one tree. The middle park has six trees. And the tree in the back corner, or the lot in the back corner, the park in the back corner has 20 to 25 valuable oaks. So it was understanding that the trees were very important to, of course, the community and the administration of the city. We had proposed to the administration that we proposed one park in the top right corner, And if you notice there, that park is now a bit of an L shape. There's a little bump up of approximately 900 square feet. Our thought was there that in not having these other two parks that we proposed, logically, any new homeowners purchasing a lot and having paid a premium for homes with mature oak trees on them would not cut them down, but there was no guarantee. So we proposed adding 900 square feet, which preserved an additional six or seven trees, which would potentially have compensated for new owners cutting down those oaks, i.e. the same amount of oak trees would have been preserved. Today we have made two applications. We received instructions from our pre-application that the administration really liked our idea of the additional 900 square feet, but still wanted all three parks. So we've made two applications today. One application is option A, which you're looking at right now. And sorry, I run a technology company and something's giving me a hard time here. And option B, which is, I believe, the administration's favored or preferred plan, that includes the L-shaped park in the top right corner with the additional two parks preserving the oak trees. I'll comment on it further as we go through this process. What you're seeing here is we've had a tough time understanding exactly what the intentions of the administration would be for those three parks. We've had some clarification from the Forestry Department where the oaks would be preserved and a natural understory, if I've got that right, would be maintained and enhanced. I have no concept of exactly what that looks like. I just know what exists right now. So we had some renderings done. Today, I guess, again, as I explained, there's two options. Option A, and this would be technically a rendering of option A, where looking from Lanark Street, any lots along Lanark would be, anybody would be prohibited from developing, we're willing to do this, prohibited from developing 30 feet, which was the marker for the trees, and that the green space, now in private hands, would be maintained by the new homeowners. This is potentially a rendering of a view from Lanark and Grosvenor looking at new developments. We'd be open to administration's recommendations on amenable fencing so that it's A, consistent, and B, that the consistency for the residents on Lanark is both polished, professional, and in keeping with the neighborhood. This is another rendering from the opposite corner, still Lanark, along the back lane of, again, the view down the street, 30-foot development setback in addition to the boulevard. We had our architects do a rendering, and again, this is now option B again. We had some renderings done of oak trees with the existing brushes there and potentially a natural understory. I'm not sure what the long-term effect of that park would be and how it would look. The reason I bring this up is that we've met with a number of residents explained this process and how we got to these parks along Lanark. And a lot of questions were raised in terms of what would be the end result of the view or the landscaping along Lanark. And we managed to clarify some information in the last couple of days, but for a point there, I wasn't really able to answer what the city's intentions were for the development of Lanark. Two options, obviously, being the same setbacks, 30 feet, the land being maintained privately, option A, or the land being owned and maintained by the city and enhanced at some future point in development. I know some residents are probably going to speak about it today. Another angling of the existing corner with some natural shrubbery and existing oak understory, what have you, designed by architect Scatliff Miller Murray today. There are four points that I'm bringing up for consideration at the end today. The first one is Plan A versus Plan B, and I understand it's the administration's preference for Plan B. If Plan B is the preferred plan, we had hired an arborist to comment on a tree protection plan, and an arborist, and we've provided the report as part of our documents here, recommended that a 22-foot barrier from Lanark as long as there was a tree protection zone during the construction period and that root pruning took place, that that would be adequate protection to preserve those trees. In our application today, we actually applied for 26 feet, four more than was recommended by the arborist to protect the trees. And the administration's report identifies 30 feet. I came up with what I think is a particularly, and just for comments, that's represented by the blue line is 22 feet. Our proposal is 26 feet in the middle, and the red line represents 30 feet. I came up with what I thought is a brilliant graph here today to explain why I think 22 feet is more than adequate. If you'd look at the image on the left, that circle represents a tree trunk in the middle, and the canopy is the circle. In a particular situation where a tree is being preserved with construction all around it, obviously the root system would be potentially impacted in a complete radius, 360 degrees. On our particular development, that's not the case. All of the trees are only being impacted by construction on one side. And if you look at the graph on the right-hand side, again, you see the same circle. The center dot references the tree trunk. The radius of the circle is 22 feet. And you see that there's another 4 feet denoted by that line, which is our proposed 26 feet, and that the construction of any home would be a minimum of 4 feet past that. The graph represents that 83% of that tree's root structure would have a minimum of 30 feet.
You've used 10 minutes at this point, so I'm just...
30 seconds?
If you can be mindful of the time. I don't know if the other applicants are going to use the full 10 minutes.
I have 30 seconds, 40 seconds, I'll be done.
Appreciate it if you drop it.
Thank you. So one consideration is the 22 versus 26 versus 23 feet. Our 900 square feet in the corner was a function of potentially doing one park in the back corner. Now that's going to create a very irregular lot. Really doesn't exist anywhere in River Heights. You can see lot 7 there is L-shaped. We would propose that the regular strip along Lanark just be a long, linear, consistent strip, and that that original proposed 900 square feet that we did in the pre-app be reconsidered. So again, in summary, four things we would like you to consider. Plan A versus Plan B, we understand that B is the preference of the administration. Remove the 900 square feet and allow for a normal lot in the top right corner along a linear line of trees. Consider the 26 feet, which is 4 feet over the arborist report of 22 feet. And last but not least, we'd like to ask for consideration for the trees as per the ACG report allows. We are obligated, obviously, to provide land at the administration's request. Our land in this particular case is very valuable land in that it's enhanced by trees, a significant amount of oak trees. And other development agreements, it's my understanding that at times the developer would enhance via landscaping or hardscaping a number of different things, and the trees have value. We'd ask today that the ACG report allows for some consideration for the value of the trees. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to addressing any concerns from administration, council, or others. Thanks very much.
Okay, do either any of the others need to add something at this point?
First, I'm here to represent Richard Winship and Associates. We just want to add that there's been a number of public engagement sessions that went on throughout this whole process. We were previously at a public hearing, but I'll just repeat it again. I see there's more people in the audience, and we do have a public engagement report to hand in. The school division held a public engagement before they put the land for sale for marketing. Richard Winship held two different open houses, one to consider plan that the developer had come up with that was not really supported by the community. Went back with another plan for engagement that received more positive feedback, and that was the one that was originally made for at the last public hearing. The public engagements were both widely advertised throughout the community, newspaper ads, utilizing social media, including the website. The website's been active. We have received feedback emails up to since the website was launched last fall up to today. from people, both asking questions, providing support, as well as asking or providing opposition. And I do also want to recognize that the two gentlemen next to me who live in the neighborhood did some old-fashioned door knocking. I believe they probably knocked on more than a few doors in that neighborhood and went and talked to a lot of residents and neighbors and were continually meeting with people throughout the entire process. I believe there's some comments or concerns, or not concerns, but some feedback on the ACG, reflecting that if you go with option A, which they're preferring, ideally is that the servicing agreement would reflect that option, not so much the option B. And that the idea that going with option A, there are a number of conditions and abilities of council to protect those trees, even though if they're on private land, such as, and they're looking for tree credits, but those are quite some beautiful amenities that private landowners would like to have on their property that they can maintain, that can be provided, whether it is with the a wider side yard as a zoning agreement, such as an 8-foot side yard, to ensure those trees are protected. But there are elements and conditions that can be approved to protect those trees on private property and not so much have them managed through the public service.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have the documentation?
Okay.
Okay. I'll fill out my form too. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John. All right. So any questions, John, before
John, just before you head out, or anybody from your group, can you walk us through the consultations? We've had a few, I've had a few phone calls prior to the application getting submitted regarding we went from A to B to C, back to B, back now to D. Can you explain that for the public and for my colleague?
I'm not sure if the calls you received were as a result of recently a document handed out by a resident. We were on the CBC the other day, asked some questions. Just in brief, the very first plan was a bay concept that exists on Lanark. And for a number of reasons identified at the first initial open house, Sir John Franklin, that plan wasn't workable. We provided a lot of feedback that was well attended by over 100 people. And surprisingly, to our surprise, it wasn't well supported. Let's call it Plan 2, which we presented at the last committee meeting, was our proposal for the park on the corner. And originally, and then through the administration's report, our input was changed because of the protection of the trees along Lanark Street. And that was a suggestion from the administration. Since then, there's been no other plans. We withdrew that plan that was recommended, if that's the right term at the time, in that we had to do some rezoning on that corner block, and we had to sort out lot sizes, what have you, and had to come back to another meeting, so we decided to withdraw it and do everything at the same time. So there hasn't been a lot of plans. There's really only been two plans. Today, there's two options. Option A was really, at the end of the day, our experience at the last committee meeting was that because we're rezoning portions of it, option A really gives the committee a lot of flexibility in what they do today. But I understand option B is really the proposed plan, and it is virtually identical to what happened last time, subject to one little parcel being rezoned. So there's been very little changes to the plan, actually.
Yeah, I think the plan last time with the park, and that's why you had to come back, because
yeah.
We had to zone it back. You can't zone
yeah.
it. And the issue there, correct me, was that the administration wasn't keen on this idea of
right.
the park.
The administration didn't want the park.
They weren't supporting the pocket park.
They weren't supportive of the block park on Grosvenor and Beaverbrook, but the Parks and Forestry Department said that instead of this park, we'd prefer to have park space that protects these oak trees.
Right.
And that was the only change. So we, actually what happened is that a portion of it was not rezoned,
right.
and then the park was, the Grosvenor Beaverbrook was kind of stranded. It was unable to be rezoned because we had proposed PR1. We would have to come back and do R1M for that. So very little has actually changed.
Yep. Okay. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And you'll have the opportunity to come back and rebut any comments made
Thank
by
you.
Anyone in opposition. So in support, I have listed here Cheryl and John Stoneman. Do you wish to speak or just be recorded? Thank you. Just wanted to check. I've got Verna Shelley and Paul Hayes, and you haven't checked off If you're in support, opposition, or for information, so... Okay, are you Verna? Okay, and Paul? You're both in opposition. Do you have another one, or is this your form? You filled out one, and you're in opposition to both? A and B, I guess? Okay. I just want to make sure I've got you categorized in the right spot. Okay. I don't have anybody else in support then. Is there anyone else who's in support whose name has not been called? Okay, then. We'll go through the people in opposition, and you can just come down to speak when I call your name, or else just indicate you wish to be recorded. Verna, do you wish to speak? Verna Shelley? Just be recorded in opposition. Paul Hayes, you're going to come down. And next I have Wilma Addison. She's still here? Don't see you. You can just come down, Paul, and I'm just going to see if I can get a couple other people who wanted to speak. Wilma, not here. Well, why don't you just go ahead, and we'll take it from there.
Hayes, I live at 316 Lanark Street, directly opposite from the proposed redevelopment at 386 Beaverbrook. I have lived there for over 45 years. I have a brother who is a few years older than myself, who also lives on the same stretch of the city block between Grosvenor and Kingsway Avenue. And I have a letter that he addressed to Andrew Poitras that I would like to read before you tonight. This is addressed to Mr. Poitras. I am contacting you to register my opposition to the most current proposal for development of the former Sir John Franklin School property. My family moved to 316 Lanark Street in September of 1964 when I was 9 years old, and that was my home until 1978. Two of my siblings, I am one of the siblings, still own and occupy that address at 316 Lanark Street. My wife and I, my older brother Jeffrey, took possession of 270 Lanark Street in April 1992 and have remained there since. As a result, I have had direct ongoing contact with this street and this block in particular for 50 years. My concerns with this proposal are not related to the development of the property per se, but rather with the highly non-conforming street layout that has been proposed. These concerns touch on aesthetics and property values, but are primarily about function, traffic flow, and safety. First sub-point is a background. A decision to install traffic lights at Academy Road and Lanark some 30 to 40 years ago to provide improved safety for children then crossing Academy Road to attend Sir John Franklin School had unintended consequences. As major housing developments sprung up south of Taylor and Keniston Boulevard started becoming congested, Lanark Street became a popular route for accessing Academy Road and the St. James Bridge for the morning commute. Observed evidence is that Lanark Street, especially between Cordon and Academy, experiences much higher traffic volumes during peak times than adjacent streets such as Renfrew, Beaverbrook, and Centennial. This increased northbound traffic flow was exacerbated in the last decade by the introduction of a Starbucks at the corner of Academy and Lanark, which attracts morning commuters, and the more recent removal of four-way stop signs at Lanark and Grosvenor, which has increased traffic speed in the block of Lanark in question. Further, in the last 5 years or so, the introduction of speed bumps to discourage use of Centennial Street and a right-hand turn prohibition between 3:30 and 5:30 p.m. onto Beaverbrook have caused a noticeable uptick in southbound traffic on Lanark during the afternoon rush. This current volume of vehicular traffic is a major consideration in any redevelopment of this particular block. And then a second subpoint, initial design concept with the bay. The first proposal from the developer, which was presented online and at an open house, but not to the City of Winnipeg, in late 2013, seemed to be sensitive to the existing character of the neighborhood, and Lanark Street in particular. It logically replicated the existing street plan between Academy Road and Cordon Avenue, and again between Grant and Taylor. A series of semicircular bays with single-family dwellings on the west side of the street opposite single-family dwellings on the east. This pattern is interrupted by Lanark Gardens and the Towers and J.B. Mitchell School between Corden and Grant. When a similar development opportunity presented itself when land became available on the west side of Lanark, south of Grant, the developers incorporated a bay into their solution, albeit with townhouse clusters, which still harmonize with the existing surroundings very well. Access to housing on this new bay in the initial 386 Beaverbrook proposal was via a one-way street identical to all the existing bays and which has not created any traffic concerns in my experience. The only non-conforming element was the necessity to introduce side driveways to the houses backing onto Grosvenor Avenue to eliminate the necessity of running a back lane immediately parallel to it. While they are not plentiful in River Heights, there are a number of side driveways on north-south streets, including Lanark, most noticeably on the same block at 232 Lanark Street. And these would not constitute an alarming exception to the character of the street. The initial proposal also extended the existing configuration of single-dwelling lots on the east side of Beaverbrook, south to Grosvenor. This proposal was so obviously appropriate and in conformity to the existing neighborhood plan that I emailed the developer expressing my approval and thought no more about it. Subsequent to the revised plan, Plan A. After the initial open house, I learned that this appropriate and conforming proposal was being rethought and a new layout for development of the property was advanced. The reasons for the rethink seemed dubious at best. Residents of surrounding streets without bays were upset that Lanark Street should be given another one. This new bay would not be easily accessible to those not living on the street. Maintenance of this new green space could be problematic. The lot configuration did not permit a sufficient variety of floor plan options. To address these concerns, a completely arbitrary and alien street configuration was shoehorned onto the site. A one-block, two-way avenue would now run between Beaverbrook and Lanark, and another back lane would now be introduced to service homes now facing onto Grosvenor Avenue. This type of street configuration is certainly not to be found anywhere else in River Heights, and in my experience, nowhere else in the immediate surrounding neighborhoods. In addition to a new back lane access located a few meters north of what is in essence an uncontrolled intersection at Grosvenor, a new intersection to service two-way traffic for the new avenue is located a few meters beyond that, with existing parking patterns on Lanark already squeezing north-south traffic. The addition of this two-way street intersection poses obvious traffic flow problems. Add the issue of poor corner visibility caused by plowed snow accumulation at intersections for approximately 4 to 5 months of the year, and the already worrisome traffic issues on this residential street are amplified. As parking will be presumably permitted on one side of the proposed east-west avenue, both Lanark and Beaverbrook will experience increased traffic, one as an entry point and one as an exit. In addition to these potential traffic flow and safety issues, the aesthetic appearance of the street should be considered. While the rest of the west side of Lanark has a park-like quality, the west side of this particular block would become a concentrated hodgepodge of intersections and backyard fences. This will certainly not enhance property values for existing homeowners on the opposing east side of the street, many of whom have owned, maintained, and paid taxes on their properties for many decades. As far as the concerns expressed about the initial concept, the existing bays are open to one and all and remain largely underutilized. In addition, there is acres of public green space within a 3-minute walk of this location on Lockwood Street and at Sir John Franklin Community Center. I have never in 50 years seen individuals or families turned away disappointed at not being able to enjoy these amenities. Further, I feel that green space envy is a poor excuse for scarring an otherwise attractive street. Should there be some retribution for homeowners who enjoy exclusive access to riverbanks or are adjacent to parks or golf courses? Surely location and character are key elements to the equation of property value. It is now my understanding that the pocket park at the corner of Beaverbrook and Grosvenor, introduced to placate these concerns, has been rejected by the city, so there is currently no new green space for anyone, subject to modification of the extension of the boulevard on the west side of Lanark Street. Maintenance of the existing bays has never been an issue, and I do not see why one new bay should be, which should pose an insurmountable problem. I am also unclear as to why a variety of lot sizes and floor plans could not be incorporated into the initial bay design. In conclusion, it has long been understood that neighborhoods tend to maintain value and desirability because of their conformity. This has been especially true of River Heights and Crescentwood, which have maintained their perceived value for at least a half a century. This situation has steadily driven up resale values and increased assessments and tax revenue for the city. This does not mean there is no room for flexibility and change. River Heights has been undergoing an evolution in the last decade especially. New architectural styles of houses have been developed on infill lots, restoration of existing heritage homes, and the construction of new homes in traditional style. All are contributing to the organic evolution of the neighborhood without disturbing its defining character. However, to introduce an anomaly like the current 386 Beaverbrook development plan into an established neighborhood when an obvious, coherent, and precedented alternative was initially proposed is bewildering. Please do not damage the integrity of a well-designed, functional, and pleasant environment unnecessarily. Also, please do not establish the potentially dangerous precedent of permitting this type of arbitrary and inappropriate alteration to the character of our stable, successful neighborhoods. That's on behalf of my brother Jeffrey, also a resident of 316 of 270 Lanark Street. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Okay. Okay. Do you want to speak next?
I can. Sure.
Yeah, just if you could just state your name and I'll make sure I have the right form.
I'm Bob Angst.
Bob Angst? Oh, you didn't have a form in yet? Okay. Yes, you do. Okay, well, that's all good. I'll find it. It's been a long night.
Yeah, it's a long night, and I
thanks
hope
for
I'm
your
not
patience.
I hope I'm not at a disadvantage speaking at this
not
time.
Not at all.
Go ahead.
Okay, first I would like to say that this is the first time I've spoken to a government deciding committee since I was in high school asking the student council if we could have a sock hop. So I'm a little nervous. So if I stutter and stammer, please be forgiving. First of all, I'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak about the proposal. My name is Robert Angst, and my wife and I live at 310 Lanark Street, which is three houses north of Grosvenor, and it has been our home for 30 years. We bought it in 1984. We had rented a home in the neighborhood, and once we decided that it was time to buy a home and raise a family, we sought out a place in the Sir John Franklin neighborhood. We wanted quiet, well-established streets. We wanted access to a school that had a large playground. We wanted an active community club, and Sir John Franklin Community Center provided that. And we paid a premium financially, to us at least, to live in the neighborhood. And it was a good decision. Our kids thrived. They made friends. We made friends. I became a member of the Sir John Franklin Community Center executive. In fact, I helped negotiate with the executive, with the Winnipeg School Division and the city to come up with an agreement so that the Sir John Franklin school grounds could be available to the community after the school closed. In 2008, as you know, the school division decided to sell this site, and we attended the meetings to discuss what the neighborhood wanted to see on the land. And the consensus was it should blend smoothly with the existing neighborhood. In November, the developers presented their plan, which is this. It would be a continuation of the bay concept that goes basically all the way through Lanark. It would have a back lane further development, which would be a continuation of the back lane system going north and south through between Beaverbrook and Lanark. It goes along the west side of Westworth United Church. And so we were happy with this concept. Okay, there might be a lot more homes than we'd like in that space, but we could live with that proposal. And like somebody who talked earlier, you know, we don't know how the system works. We knew that this was the proposal. We accepted it. And then, so when we heard, okay, there was going to be another meeting, we thought they were going to talk about the width of the sidewalks or something like that. They might say that, you know, they did a great job, but we didn't understand that it was a meetings to come have a conceptual change to the project. And if you, not this one, but the one I hope you have at your desk, either A or B proposals that the developers gave you tonight, you will see that there are straight streets, a straight street going from Lanark to Beaverbrook, and also a straight alley going between the two streets. We have concerns. As you already know, the Lanark and Grosvenor intersection is controlled by a traffic circle. We live near that traffic circle, and we know it's problematic. With confused drivers trying to decide what to do when they come up to it, and more than a few vehicles not yielding the right of way. Couple this with the frequently long lines of parked cars on both Lanark and Grosvenor, owned by people using or attending the very active Westworth United Church, you can imagine the congestion that can happen there. Now, to add additional cars entering and exiting the proposed alley for the development, you will have some major safety issues. The proposed lane is scheduled to be created approximately 130 feet from the already busy intersection. I should also remind you that Lanark is one of the busiest residential streets in River Heights. Lanark has traffic lights at Academy, two blocks away, used by vast numbers of non-residential drivers wanting to get on and off Route 90 or heading downtown on Sherbrooke. The construction of the proposed back lane so close to an already busy intersection would be a poor decision. Now, we have another concern. Now, we can talk about the whole community, but this affects us. The location of the alley is not only a traffic concern, but it presents a fundamental change to us personally. If you look at the latest proposal, you will see that the proposed back lane will be directly situated in front of our house. In fact, the middle of the lane is parallel to the middle of our living room window. A similar situation seems to apply to 385 and 393 Beaverbrook, though the middle of the lane seems to intersect their properties. This proposal greatly disturbs us, for it penalizes us in terms of enjoyment of our house and our property. For 30 years in our 65-year-old house, we will now be subject to be looking directly down a sterile concrete back lane, with the usual garbage bins, parked vehicles, and refuse waiting to be picked up. We've been told that it's going to be a really nice back lane, but an alley is an alley. The vast majority of Old River Heights back lanes run north and south. I did an investigation of the area, and it led me to believe that 99% of the homes are serviced by north-south alleys. I'm aware there are a few exceptions. very few, to this north-south alley situation where houses in the area face back lanes. Those situations seem to have been part of the original plan during the initial construction of River Heights. Therefore, the original landowners or homeowners across from these alleys were aware of their existence at the time of purchase. We are also aware that the developer is willing to help provide landscaping and some possible light reduction curtains for our home in an effort to reduce headlight glare. We appreciate the offer, but it doesn't solve the fundamental problem. It diminishes our property because of this proposal. I am a retired teacher, and my wife is likely to retire in a few years. Our home has served us well, but our kids are launched, we hope, and we don't need the extra space. For the past few years, we've been looking upon the future sale of our home as a major financial component to our for our retirement. We now feel that the marketability of our house will be significantly reduced if the proposed back lane will be incorporated into this development. If you look at all of the proposals, you'll notice that not one of the houses proposed faces the back lane. I wonder why. This situation, coupled with increased traffic congestion in front of our house, will cause our home to diminish in enjoyment and value whether we stay or sell. This is not a situation of our own making, and we petition the city not to impose this on us. In conclusion, I believe that the current proposal deviates from traditional sound city planning used effectively in our neighborhood for years. I feel that the latest proposal discounts current residents and has not properly given into account the traffic flow and safety issues of Lanark Street. We will suffer disproportionately in loss of enjoyment and value of our property. We trust that the City of Winnipeg will take into consideration our heartfelt concerns and will work with the developer to modify the plans. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Any questions, John? No. Okay, thank you very much. Helen Rishaw, Lori and Wayne Bracken, still here? Do you just want to be recorded, or do you want to come down? Okay.
Hi, my name is Helen Rishaw. I live at 294 Lanark.
So I had to pull that microphone down. There
I hadn't planned on speaking, but following Bob is a great thing to do. He spoke a lot about the traffic issues. I'm actually, my house is going to face directly in front of the street, so I'm going to have those lights. And thank you very much, Ryan, but I don't want those shades either. I don't think it's going to help. But I'm actually, I have another concern that hasn't been brought up, and so what I'm going to do is sort of talk about another development in our area, and I'm sorry, I'm very nervous about this, just to see whether or not it's going to impact this particular development, and that is what's going to happen with the bus loop and the relocation of it. And I understand that it, from what I believe, it has to go somewhere because it can't stay around the daycare. My concern is, and I know, unless you can say definitely where it's going to be, this street that's being proposed is a very obvious solution. It's going to go down Lanark, go down the street, go down Beaverbrook, and be back on Grosvenor. I haven't seen any stop signs. I don't know how you're going to control the traffic of that street. I don't know what's going to be in front of me. I'm concerned that if you add a bus route as well, more signs, possibly bus shelters, I don't know what it is, but in a half a block, you are giving us, I think it's four for north-south traffic and east-west traffic. That's all going to converge. You have to manage that. And then if you add this, I mean, I'm sorry, Ryan.
You have to talk to us over here.
It just isn't in keeping with the community. It's just going to, I think, completely butcher it. And that is, there's no coming back once you do that. You just can't reverse it. So I've been in the area for 39 years. I've lived on Lanark for 32. Been there a long time. Have seen a lot of changes in River Heights. You know, the developments along Corridon and along Academy. And to me, this is, you've just gone one block further, and now you're going to slice that up. Is this going to be a precedence? Now you're going to start putting in east-west streets all over the place. I don't know. I mean, that's long-term, but that's my fear, is really the bus loop and what's going to happen to that.
Thank you very much.
I can just respond to the question. I'll just respond to the question because I think that's the questions. You are not aware, I gather, the bus loop is not moving.
The bus loop is what?
Not moving. The bus loop remains where it is.
It's not moving today.
Never. It's not moving. And you're probably aware or not that we did look at that option.
Yes.
And quickly was rejected by Public Works and by Transit and a fair number of neighborhoods, including the cut through through Centennial. That was also quickly rejected. So those two are off the table. The bus loop has a caveat already there with the daycare. They're aware it's going to be there. They're going to use parts of it. So the bus loop, well, I was told it's not moving.
Okay, good.
So with all due respect, Mr. Olarko, in hearing, you know, a lot of the proposals today regarding caveats and what is put in place today can be changed tomorrow. Again, with that street there, it is so convenient to solve that problem.
It actually is not, because you have to remove parking. You need a wider street. You have to remove parking, both Beaverbrook and Lanark. The general and the cost is very prohibitive. Transit has clearly said, and it's not, I'm sorry, it isn't a caveat, because the land is not part of the sale of the fire hall. The fire hall is its own sale. The bus loop is where it is. There's no caveat saying you can't move it or can't. It just, that's a separate thing completely.
Okay, and it's not the subject of this. Right?
But again, there's no bus.
Okay, anyway, thank you.
Thanks very much. Hi, my name is Lori Bracken, and I live at 288 Lanark Street. I am the voice of the past, the present, and the future of Lanark Street. My grandfather bought a home on Lanark Street in 1922 between Kingsway and Academy Road. In 1950, when my parents were married, they bought property at 288 Lanark Street, built a home, raised four children there. 22 years ago, my husband and I moved to Lanark Street to my parents' home when they decided to downsize. And we raised our two children there, who are now 26 and 22 years old, one who is still living at home. And I'm hoping that maybe someday my children, too, will live on Lanark Street. It's been a great street. Emotion aside, because I'm very emotional about the street that I was raised on, when this came out, I was excited, really excited that they kept what River Heights was all about, what Lanark Street was all about. It was all about the bays, all about the playing. And I knew that when we moved to our home 22 years ago, it would sometime be built. And when this came out, the neighbors I talked to around me were really excited about it. It addressed a lot of issues. The traffic situation, the roundabout at the corner is a terrible situation. I drive through 7 o'clock in the morning. It's horrible. I've been cut off sideways. It just, people run through that intersection all the time. It's a bad intersection, and now adding a whole lot of streets, I think it's really going to be a shame if they put another street through between Lanark and Beaverbrook. I see a lot of traffic going in that direction, and I would use it myself to avoid that intersection if I could. In fact, I avoid a lot of those roundabouts just for that reason. I've had a lot of close calls, and I'm a very careful driver. I like this plan. I do not like the plan with a street going through. There's a lot of issues, just not, and the lights.
as cars come through there, even though it will directly not be in my home. My home's the next one to where the street will come through. It will impact me as cars turn that direction. And I know it's a busy, busy street. It's a lot of things happen at the church. A lot of traffic goes right up, a lot of parking right to our streets, past our house. So those are my concerns, and I agree with this plan. I'm not in favor of the other plans. Okay, thank you.
Diane Bevan, recorded in opposition. Oh, did you wish to speak?
Yes.
Yeah. It just come up to the microphone. Elizabeth?
Yes.
Cooper?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to keep this brief because my colleagues have said a lot of the similar comments I wanted to make. I'm at 359 Beaverbrook Street, so I'm on the other side. I'm not on Lanark. One of the reasons I moved back to River Heights, I grew up in River Heights, was specifically because it was a quiet neighborhood with a lot of car traffic. And I was living just off Ellis prior. And I'm really concerned that this is going to impact the safety by having a street that people will use as another access road, similarly as people use to go to Landmark or to use for Lanark. And I'm concerned about how that traffic's going to be controlled. I'm also concerned about the property value with seeing sides of houses and rather than fronts of houses from the Beaverbrook side. I certainly don't want my property value or the safety of the neighborhood to be compromised by that. And I really hope that the safety and the community nature will be taken into account and carefully considered. Thank you.
Somebody coming down there?
Yeah.
Okay. Pardon me? When we get through this? Okay. Yeah. Come on up. Yeah. If you could just state your name, please.
Enid Wally. Well, I've been on Beaverbrook Street, 330 Beaverbrook, since I was 9 years old, and that was in 1938. I grew up there. I went to Sir John Franklin School. There was a lot of bush around when I was growing up. And I have been horrified, absolutely horrified, to find out what they're trying to do now. I quote this, John Orlikow, from Southwestern. Emerging issues. It said, increasing the tools to ensure new development enhances existing neighborhoods. The new development there is going to ruin our neighborhood. It is quite despicable what they're planning. Between Academy and Taylor, there are 7 blocks of houses that have a Beaverbrook address, face Beaverbrook, and have a back lane behind them, except for a very small portion at 386, where 2 homes on Beaverbrook will be sideways to the street. And to accommodate the way they have set up the street and the back lane connecting Lanark and Beaverbrook, it's going to wreak havoc with the garbage people, with clearing snow, and with the recycling teams. Except for where that short bit is on the left there, you can stand at Academy Road behind the retail area, and you can look straight down and see Taylor Avenue, 7 blocks away. Now, Most of what I was going to say has already been said, so I won't repeat it. I mentioned about the way Okay. Now, I found, looking at their option A, that there would be 31 homes. Well, they were going to, in option B, give some of the land on the west side of Lanark for green space. But there were still 31 homes, which meant that some more of the lots were going to be very, very narrow. They were talking in terms of meters, but I'm going to talk in terms of feet, because 1 meter doesn't sound like much, but when you say it's at 3 feet, 3 inches and a bit, well, it sounds like a lot more. Now, when they cut through the streets, the street itself from Lanark to Beaverbrook and the lane, they have to cut through the boulevard. They have to take down the trees that are in the way. Who's going to pay for all this? Besides, it's awful and it will look awful and the traffic will be dreadful. Who's going to pay for all that work on the boulevard? Who's going to pay for the street? Who's going to pay for the back lane? I doubt very much if they are. I believe the city will. And we, the taxpayers, will be paying for something we don't want. Now, the northwest quadrant of the area has one little break in the boulevard, all paved, where the teacher's parking used to be for the school. It's too narrow. It's just single. So it would have to be widened. And where it has to be widened, there is a fire hydrant. So that's going to have to be altered. All these things cost money. Whenever I talk to people, and I did spend all Sunday afternoon just walking around talking to the people on Beaverbrook who will be impacted by this, they didn't realize so much of what was going on. And particularly the older people were very, very concerned. They had lived there a long time, and they were happy, they were settled, and they just did not want this going on. Now, I think that's pretty well covered at, I told you about the boulevards being interrupted, about the back lane continuing uninterrupted, and about the boulevard trees being removed. And if you consider that you have good boulevards and the trees stay and that green space is maintained on the west side of Lanark, there is really no need for any more green space. Our boulevards are good. And it would be nice to have it. It'd be nice to keep the whole park, and because we grew up with it being open space. But times change, and we have to move with them. But that doesn't mean to say we have to throw everything down the drain. Now, one final thought. Have you thought what they're going to call the road? It's got to have a name. Or are they all going to be subunits of 386 Beaverbrook? So anyway, I just had a little thought. Maybe it would be Beaver Arc, or maybe it would be Landbrook. Neither of them belong in our neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Jackie Cosgrove. Gary Hamilton. Jason Dick. Alma Atchison. Bruce Mahaffey. Verna Shelley, you just recorded. Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Almost ready for bed. Let's liven this up a bit, shall we? Thank you for the opportunity. 4.5 hours. That's an incredibly long time to talk about a little lost piece of jewel. I wonder if I might ask who's ever controlling that screen to put up proposal 2 for me. The one that was originally up there. Of course, we'd all like the green space to stay there, but that's beyond that. There was a bay.
I don't know. Who's controlling?
Who's got it? Is it this? Ryan. I'm looking to get the first. You know what? It doesn't matter.
Okay, can you just talk to us?
Yeah, I'll talk to you. Right. Proposal 2. In keeping with Lanark Bay as is, with the back lane coming right through to Grosvenor. In a bad situation, this was the most acceptable proposal. In, I think, the majority of people here, I can only hope that the residents' voice heard tonight carries as much weight as the arborist has authority, because that's why we are now faced with this. Are you kidding me? I've got a back lane coming into my front window. Yes, it's been there for maybe since the parking lot went in. Regardless, it's going to turn into a street. But now we've got another lane added. I'm astounded by this. I'm a lifelong resident of Beaverbrook, 379. So the public road going from Lanark to Beaverbrook will impact my house. It's either going to be shining into my bedroom, or it's going to be shining into my front room. Doesn't matter. I'm still faced with lighting. I do have questions, and I will make them very brief. Does the council here have the authority, combined with the developer, to allow for variances in fence height? And if so, would the developer, or I should say landowner and council here tonight, approve an increased fence height for the affected homes that will be on Beaverbrook and Lanark in, probably about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, let's say for the sake of argument, 12 homes. An increased fence height to block the headlights turning north or south on Lanark or Beaverbrook. And would that be authorized and permitted to take the need away from the homeowner to apply for the variance and added cost of a higher fence, if there's a fence there to begin with? Now, the other question I've got is, as if I'm at 379 Beaverbrook with the proposed options A And B, in RM1 Block 3, I'd like to know whether or not I'll be looking at my neighbor across the street's bathroom window instead of his front window. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you. We've got two people registered for information, Melanie Cardinal and Carol Richaud. Or I already said that name, didn't I? Anyways, nobody else. Okay, I apologize, but I need a 1 minute break here, and then we'll finish up the meeting.
The applicant can come back down now. The applicant can come back down.
Do I need to stay for my answers?
Sorry. Well, okay. We have them, yeah. We have the administration. We can't.
I'm sorry.